All right. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the things we've heard already and your good presence. And Lord, the wonderful pageantry. I'm not sure we know how much time they spent perfecting that, but it is such a blessing. And we thank you for it, Lord. Now, as we go forward, we need to hear from you. We need to know what God is saying. So help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, and we'll turn to the 12th chapter of Revelation. Let's read the first verse. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. Now, notice that this is in heaven. And you've got two people here. A woman that represents the church. And with the moon under her feet means the created realm is under the feet of the church. And a crown of 12 stars on her head representing the prophets and apostles. And this accounts for the world. If there was only the woman in heaven, things would be a lot easier for us. Well, let's go on to the next verse. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Now, that's where we are today. That's where we are today. The important thing that is happening today is that Christ is being formed in us. That's what's important. Now let's read the third verse. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. Now, what we're saying here is that there are two forces in heaven, two forces in the spirit realm that we're dealing with. First of all, the church, and secondly, the devil. So it's telling us that there's good and evil in the creation. Now, our God is preparing us, preparing Christians to do something about this. I think it's still true that they're still there and she's still pregnant. I think the church is just beginning to be pregnant. We've had an understanding of what Christianity is like, but what we've done is made God out to be some kind of automatic teller. If you look at and read in the beginning, God created man, put them in paradise, and almost immediately, due to Satan, Eve was dissatisfied. As wonderful a thing that was, the Garden of Eden. But Eve wanted more. And that's the way it is today. We want more and more from God. But God has his own plans. I remember sitting in Bible school and I was thinking, they were exhorting us to go out and, you know, go through the reeds until you fall and drop dead preaching the gospel. And the idea was to burn out for Christ. I don't hear that expression much anymore. Burn out for Christ. And that's what we were told in Bible school. Burn out for Christ. Do this and do that. And I used to ask myself, well, does God have a plan? Is he asleep up there? And it's up to us. And the gospel is up to us. Saving people is up to us. The church is up to us. The whole thing, I was afraid to eat lunch for fear I was coming short of what God wanted. And I've seen that. I've come to the conclusion in my old age that there's one thing that God wants that he does not get very often, and that is obedience. Now, that may not sound like any great thing, but the churches, the organizations, the people, by and large, you don't hear too much about obedience. Most of it is about what we're supposed to do. And the idea is that it's preached that we should go out and put hangers on the doorknobs and talk to everybody we meet about Christ. I tried that when I was first saved. I was trying to be obedient and talk to people about Christ. And I remember getting on a bus, and it was crowded. And in the back, there's just barely room for one person. And there was a lady, and I sat down next to her, and I said, I want to tell you about Christ. Well, that's what all the servicemen were telling us. We've got to tell everybody about Christ. You know, that's still going on? Till all have heard. See, we don't say, God, do you want everyone to hear? See, that's stupid. No, it isn't. That's the issue. Is we're trying to run the kingdom. And we're taught that we should do that. And the lady said, no hablo ingles. And I thought, oh, Lord. Right then, I said, I'm not going to try to tell everybody about Christ. I'm not going to do it. It's not working. It's not even sensible. And so, to this day, I don't tell people about Christ unless there's a good reason. They ask me or the Lord prompts me, which is very seldom. And there's something deeper going on. And this is it right here. The woman and the devil. Finally, good. God is getting ready for good to overthrow evil. Now that, see, it isn't tell everybody you meet about Christ. It isn't anything we're going to go out and do. What we need to do is hear what God is saying. And that is hard. When I came to this church, Audrey and I came, and I made up my mind, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to listen to the Lord and see what he says and see what he'll do. Well, there was a newspaper reporter came, and she asked me, and that was in the old church there, said, what plans do you have? And I said, I don't have any plans. And she says, wow, you're the first pastor that ever said that. So that's been my point. And, you know, as a result, we've been here 40 years. And we don't have a large congregation. But right now, as I'm speaking, it will be recorded and thousands of people will hear it. As during last year, in 1 month, there's 30,000 pages read. And that's a lot of information, of data. Anybody with 30,000 people in a congregation would feel they're really doing something. So, the issue today is obedience. That's the issue today. I can remember when, how as a young fella coming up, I wanted power with God, power. And Earl Houghton and the other brother that was with him, not George, but the other brother, Kirkpatrick, they prayed over Audrey and me. And they didn't pray for power. And that upset me. Guess what they prayed for? Wisdom. And I thought, well, who needs that? You know, that isn't going to make me God's man of faith and power and a very successful pastor. But, you know, in Proverbs it says the principal thing is wisdom. Get wisdom. Doesn't say a thing about getting power. But the rage in modern Christianity in many places is power. Pray for power. We want power. And now I can see how wrong that is. We're trying to do, God said, on this rock, I will build my church. He didn't say, on this rock, you will build my church. But that's what I was taught in Bible school. Audrey was, you were there. I know she, were you a year behind me or a year ahead of me or what was going on there? But anyway, that's what was going on there was you need to get out and do something because so many people are going into hell. And I felt, you know, I felt, I didn't even dare go up and eat my lunch because I thought, well, I'm eating my lunch, there's all these people going to hell. And I was a long time getting out of that mindset. We're supposed to do it. There's something we're supposed to do. And you know what we're supposed to do? Listen. 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 Now, in the first chapter of Hebrews, God says, God who at many times and in many places spoke in times past to the fathers, and now is speaking to us by his Son. That's Hebrews chapter 1, I think verses 1 and 2. And that's it. God has spoken to us by the fathers. Not the Father spoke to God. I don't know if you see the difference, but God has made it very clear to me. The fathers did not speak to God and get him to do something. God spoke to the fathers. We go into the book of Acts. It's not a record of people trying to figure out how to move God to get more souls saved. It's obedience. God spoke in prophecy and told them, go here and go there. Paul was trying to go one place and God told him to go to another. One place he told them all, don't go in there. Two places, don't go in there. Well, we wouldn't hear of that today. We'd say, well, that's the devil or the flesh. But it was God. Now, that's a very important thing today. I've prayed for our nation. I care about our nation. I come from New England, and patriotism was strong in my day when I was there. And every time I'd go to pray about our country, God would talk to say, America's gone over the line. And he was talking about abortion and nakedness and the idolizing of money. That's the thing to pray about. If you want to pray about something that's important, it's an abortion. Because it isn't getting less. I noticed that Planned Parenthood just put out we're going to have a pizza dinner if you meet your quota. Well, what do they mean by the quota? The number of babies killed.
It's 53 million now.
And that is why we have tornadoes and all the other things. California has gotten off pretty light so far. But if you read your paper, there will not be one day in which there was not a disaster someplace in America. Well, people are saying, save our nation. That is not the prayer. The prayer is get us straightened out where we've turned against Christ. And that's what, when you go to pray, that's what you hear from God. You don't hear, oh yes, I hear your prayer and everything's going to be all right and the Republicans will be in power for the next millennium. That isn't what God tells you. He's talking about the sin in our country. and it's causing uproars everywhere, except in California. And we'll be next because we've got a bad reputation in the United States for our sin. And that's where the problem is. So people are not asking God, what do you want? How many times did you ever hear a preacher talk to the congregation and say, ask God what he wants about America? Well, I think you'll be a long time waiting to hear that, because that's not, you know, if we get out and work and we do this and together we can do it. Together we can do it. And that's just the opposite of what God is saying. So we've got a tremendous need, Tony, in America. And that is to listen to God. What is he saying? Well, I know what he's done to me. He's made a cripple out of me. And I can't do anything. And we've got a lot of stuff going on at our house. And we've got hard workers there, but they're not me. Because I, you know, if I try to do anything, I can't walk across the floor without saying, Father, help me. And I'm talking literally. I grab for this piece of furniture and that piece of furniture and say, God, help me. And I nearly fall down at least once a day. I haven't fallen down, thank God. So God is, you know, God is going through this church. And hitting everybody. And he started with me, and I spent 4 months in the hospital. And then I get out, and then I can't keep my balance. So I am a good testimony to you of what God wants, will do to get somebody to listen to him. God wants me to listen to him and do what he says and never mind anything else. So we've got up here, we've got the conflict between good and evil, and that's the story of the world. The church is in heaven, Satan's in heaven, accusing God constantly concerning his saints. He's accusing you and me every time we do anything false, and that's the issue here. The issue isn't politics, the issue is God. And God is going to do it by bringing forth in Christians Christ, not more ecclesiastical ideas, not more Christian ideology, not more, you know, plans to live by Christian principles. You know what happens when people live by Christian principles? They end up crucifying Christ when he acts. That's what happened in the first century. Those were devout Jews. They were Jews that were married to the law, not to God, to the law. And they obeyed what the Lord said. And when Christ came, they murdered him. Now, God is not asking us to learn Christian principles and to do them. He's asking us to listen to him. It must be so frustrating. You know, my left hand, I talk to it every day because it will not obey my head. As soon as I get off distracted with something, it starts picking at it so. And I said, quit it. I am not directing you to do that. Would you stop that? Then I go off on some other tangent in my mind, and the next thing I know, I'm disgusted with you. You're supposed to obey the head, not your own ideas. Do you hear me? Probably not. Well, God has got a body, the body of Christ, that are all doing this. You know, they're all doing their own thing. And it's time now to change that. And I don't know, I was worried about that. And the Lord spoke to me, he said, you don't have to do the whole thing by yourself. I'm going to change things in the church. So they won't be talking about themselves and what they're going to do. They're going to be talking about what they're hearing from me. Amen. Now, I'll tell you something. God wants you and me to talk to him constantly. Now, I want you to hear me because this is very important. And it's not true of most Christians. Okay? They come and talk to God on Sunday if they do that. But they're not in the place where all day it's, how about this, Lord? Oh, thank you, Jesus, for doing that. Oh, this is wonderful, Lord. You say you can't live like that? That's the way we're supposed to live. Always communicating with the Lord. Well, I'm a CEO of two factories, and I'm so busy I can't do it. Baloney. If you keep a daily and nightly conversation going with Jesus, you'll do a better job with those factories. So don't tell me you got too much to do. I've been a busy man. I started working when I was 15. And I've been working ever since till I got to be a pastor. But you can do a better job. You say, but the Lord doesn't know about this, and the Lord doesn't know about that. He knows about everything you're doing. And he's just waiting. He said, will he please ask me? No, he gums it through. Now, the one thing that Jesus wants more than anything is fellowship. Amen. He's not an automatic teller that you go to him when you have a need. I need money. I need healing. I need a new job. I need a new house. I need a new sofa. I need. He's not an automated teller. He's a person, and he wants fellowship. I said, you know what I call people that are listening to God and doing his will and nothing else? It's the fellowship of the bosom. They live in the bosom. You know, the NIV doesn't use that term. They've got some fancy thing, in the innermost parts of God and blah, 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 blah. And I checked different translations, and half of them use the word bosom, just like the King James. Well, I've grown used to it. So there's a fellowship of the bosom. And I'll tell you what they are, what characterizes these people. The most important thing to them in the world is God's will. Everything else is second to God's will. Now, are you there? Are you there? Are you asking God about everything? Or is there a part of your life that you're too busy to talk to God? Well, let me tell you, any time you act without presenting your thoughts, your words, and your actions to God, you're in rebellion against God. Oh, that can't, oh, Brother Thompson, that can't be. You know why it can't be? Because of our culture. See? Because of our culture. Our culture would think he's saying to people, to ordinary people, that they have to be thinking about God all the time and presenting their thoughts before God all the time. And when they have a problem, presenting it to God, and meanwhile thanking God when this goes right, thanking God when that goes right, and this is how people are to live? The man is nuts. That's the fellowship of the bosom. In John 14, around verse 2, he said, and where I go, you know, and the way you know, and some blabbermouth there, sorry, apostles, had to say something. Well, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And in the first chapter of John, he said, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He said that you may be with me where I not was, not will be, but where I am, in the bosom of the Father. And there's a fellowship of people in the bosom of the Father, and their one thing in life is they obey, obey, obedience, obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. And to listen than the fat of rams. You say, I can't do it, I'm too busy. Well, you'll be more successful in what you're doing if you make God your confidant. I don't care if it sounds practical or doesn't. I know what I'm talking about. That you may be with me where I am. And where is he? In the bosom of the Father. And NIV calls that, I think, the closest place you can get to God or whatever it is. But the word is bosom. And if you look up different translations, you'll find that how that about half of them translate it bosom and the rest of them go around the block. The fellowship of the bosom. I love that. I love that. There's just a few people. And there's room there for every believer. There's room there for every believer. I can't give up my life and my thoughts and my words and my action to an invisible man. Well, you better. If you expect to meet the rapture, you better. He's not going to take people into his army that are flying their own flag. And when he comes, listen, people, as I proceed to go against all that is holy, he is not. There's three comings of Christ, all right? Three comings. First, as a babe of Bethlehem, okay? The second coming hasn't come yet, but it will be coming. The third coming, he comes with his royal priesthood as the tabernacle of God to the new earth. That's the third coming. All right, we're waiting for the second coming. Now, the church has decided that the set purpose of the second coming is to carry his church to heaven. Anybody ever heard that?
Yes.
Yeah, when the Lord comes, he's going to carry us off to heaven. Do you know what the purpose of the second coming is? To set up his kingdom on the earth. Well, go look in your Bible. You've got your Bible. Look in it and see.
You want to know what the bosom of God is? It's the center of his affection.
What translation is that?
This is the Open Bible.
Yeah, that's good. Center of his affection. I prefer bosom because that King James says that. The fellowship of the bosom. You'll remember that, I hope. Now, it's a small company of people in heaven and earth that do put God's will above everything else. No, he's not coming to catch his waiting bride to heaven. He's coming to install his kingdom on the earth, and Revelation is as clear as glass. Revelation 19. He saw the Lord, not like the politicians of today, ruling from their desk. He's at the head. He's at the head of his army, Vi. That's what the second coming is. And he's going to collect a few campers from the earth, and those will be the ones in the bosom of God, that where I am, there you may be. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. You want to be there? You won't be accepted. You're invited, but you won't be accepted unless God is first. Obedience. Not your works for God. Not your good works. Obedience. You know, like my hand. I say, I don't care what you feel like. You want to pick at all my fingernails. I'm telling you, quit it. Oh, if it only obey me. Huh? You think the Lord says that sometimes about his church? If they would ever stop what they're doing and listen. I'm not trying to save America as such so that they can go on with more abortions and more entertainment and more booze. Well, I'm faithful to my country. Oh, you're blind and deaf is what you are. God is not satisfied with abortion. And when you see those little cherubic faces that they're taking and snipping their spinal cord, man, it's enough to make a man go out of his mind. But see, you can't go out. And God doesn't say, therefore, go out and preach against abortion. Listen, listen. Maybe, just maybe, I have a plan. That's what I used to think in Bible school. Does he have a plan? Does he know what he's doing? Or do we Bible school students have to do it all over? It's the major problem in the church of today is that people are trying to build a kingdom. What about that, Benny? Are they doing that in the Philippines? Think about it and think about the church and you'll see it's a constant get out there and do something. Get out there and do something. And in Bible school it was, there's no more revival. This was just before the charismatic renewal. There's no more revival. The die is cast. Sinners are going to hell. And you just have a short time to get out there and stop them. And go out and die for Christ. That was a big thing, die for Christ. And I thought, how sensible is that? Die for Christ. What good does that do? You go out, make yourself a martyr, or you get a name, whatever. It means nothing. The only thing that matters is obedience. And to obey, you have to hear. You can't obey something that you're not getting any commands. That's not sensible. He says, I stand at the door and knock. And where is that? The last church. Laodicea. The worst church. And so what's he doing? He's knocking at the door. Isn't that true? Today he's knocking at the door. How many open the door? Well, how often do you open the door? All the time. And he sups with you. On what? On your obedience and worship. And what do you dine on? His body and blood. That's it, people. All right. Now notice in verse 4, his tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky. Imagine all those evil angels being swept out of the sky. Well, if he swept his warrior angels out just before he was going into conflict with Michael, is pretty stupid. It's not talking about the evil angels. It's talking about the Christians. And you can read it in Daniel the 8th chapter. Because of rebellion, he cast them down to the earth. The Christians. Oh, a Christian can't be called down. You should read in your paper about ministers that are falling because of sexual lust. At one time, they were at the right hand of God. Yes. And he cast down this great company of Christians because they were at God's right hand in Christ, but they didn't stay there. And they're in the newspaper all the time. This one fell, that one fell. So who got cast down? The tail of the dragon attracted them with sexual lust and sometimes money. And he flung them to the earth. I remember one prominent evangelist. People began to tail him and he was going to a house of prostitution. Yeah. That does not make me glad, I tell you. The dragon stood in front of the woman. Boy, he's been standing in front of Audrey and me. I don't know about you, but the last month, everything. You know, I put down my phone and I put down my little handheld recorder and something else. I turn around and the phone is missing. I mean, it happens constantly. And at first I'd get mad. And now I say, okay, Lord, where is it? And then he showed me. Now, if you're having problems like that, little things that go wrong, they shouldn't be going wrong. The dragon is standing in front of you. He's got a lot of helpers. He's trying to get your mind off the Lord and get you mad. Which with me is not difficult. He wanted to devour her child. See, he's not after devouring the woman. He wants to get at Christ. The woman can't hurt him. The church can't hurt Satan. The church cannot hurt Satan. It's Christ that does it. the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman. The church will just bumble around in her customary way, and God loves the whole kit and caboodle of them. But when you come to the contest between good and evil, it's between Satan and Christ, not between Satan and the church. I mean, look at the churches in this county. I won't comment on them. All right, verse 5. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all... Nowhere to go. Rule all the nations with an iron scepter. Now, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? What is Christ? I thought I was going to die and get to go to heaven and lay around in the tulips, you know? And what have we got here? We've got a problem. Ruling the nations. The snot-nosed nations. Oh, God has given us love for them. I learned that in Iceland. God can give you love for people, even if they are snot-nosed. All right. He's going to rule the nations. You say, well, this is impossible. That's what he's coming. The second coming is for this purpose. It's to prepare the earth, the church and the nations for the third coming, which is eternal heaven, which we think of as heaven. But you can read in Isaiah chapter 64, what they're doing in the new heaven, farming. Farming. Yeah, it said, Bill, or Lloyd, it's in Isaiah 65. I saw heaven and earth. What are the people doing? Farming. Well, that pleases me. Long as I don't have to hoe weeds with a short hoe, I don't mind farming. And farming is, see, to us, everything is industry, industry, industry. And when people write about the good old days, it's about when they were down on the farm. There's no good old days in industry. Murder, crime, rape. Everything you can think of in industry, but on a farm. I don't know if you've ever been on a farm, but I tell you, they are peaceful places.
Amen.
Yeah. You go out and get the cows at night, bring them in. Well, anyway, I'm sure they're doing other things too, because God will have musicians, and he'll have, you know, all kinds of people with skills and talents. But it won't be like it is today, with a mad rush toward nothing. Well, it's so. People going 80 miles an hour down the highway to get where, to do what, nobody knows. All right, notice what it says. Did you see verse 21 in chapter 65? How many see that? They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses. And if you look at the introduction to this, it's to the new heaven and earth. Can you back up to the introduction? They may think I'm lying here. You see that verse 17? How many see verse 17?
Yes.
Well, that's where they're building houses and planting vineyards. It's on the new heaven and new earth. See, Revelation doesn't tell us what they're doing inside the walls. Well, I take that back. Inside the walls is the royal priesthood. And the royal priesthood is governing the people that are out there, the nations. And this is what the nations are doing. See, Revelation wouldn't tell us. Just so the foundation of the walls got all these jewels in it. So what good does that do us? We want to know what's going on in there. Well, what's going on in there is heaven has come to earth. The new Jerusalem is heaven come to earth. And the throne of God Almighty is in there. And Christ and the fellowship of the bosom are in there. The royal priesthood. It took 1,000 years to get the rest of the men to the bosom. That's one of the purposes for the 1,000 years. The other purpose is to get the nations prepared for the day of judgment, which comes, and then many of them become citizens of the new heavens and the new earth. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. See, all the things that are true of the new heaven and the new earth are how we picture heaven. This is how we picture heaven. Never again will there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. I'm living out my years, people. He who dies at 100 will be thought to be a mere youth. The guy's 100 years old. He's just a kid. Hey, that's not too bad, is it? You see, that's the way we picture heaven. Right? But it isn't heaven. Heaven is controlled by Satan. He's the prince of the power of the air, according to Ephesians. And he's responsible for the muck that this earth, the moral filth, this earth is. And if you don't know that the earth is a cesspool of moral filth, I don't know what's wrong with you. You're evidently not reading the paper. The earth is a cesspool of moral filth. And people say, oh, don't let him die. Don't let him die. Keep him going, even though he's suffering terribly. The worst thing is to die. The best thing is to die. And I'm looking forward to it with great pleasure. Thank you very much. Because heaven, this is what heaven is. But in the meanwhile, you've got this Satan up there accusing everybody in sight. Now, the main thing is to get him out of heaven. The main thing, Mario, is to get Satan out of heaven. And you know where he's going? Into the earth. It's bad enough now. Or maybe it's happening now. I don't know. But we wouldn't understand this passage if it wasn't happening now, see. Now it's bread for us because this is what's going on. All right, back to Revelation 12, and you'll see something that may surprise you. What do you think is the first thing that... All right, so Michael and his angels fight against Satan and his angels, and they lose, and they go down to the earth, and woe unto the people on the earth. But guess what the reaction is in heaven? Verse 10, dis to all who speak Spanish. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, see, they never whisper up there. Now have come salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. See, this is what people in heaven are saying. You say, but I want to go to heaven. But the devil is up there. Huh? I didn't think of that. Well, look what they're saying. They're not saying salvation's come to the earth. They're saying salvation's come to heaven. Did you ever think of that? Oh, some of you look like a deer caught in the headlights, I'll tell you. And so, salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have all come to heaven. Hello? Mark, you look startled. All right, the next verse. And nobody can look startled like Mark, believe me. All right. Now, verse 11 is the thing to take home with you. Verse 11. You want to be sure to tell Darcy to tell her doll. Okay. How did they overcome him? Automatic weapon. Huh? Sword? Spear? Fist fight? How did they get him out of heaven? Yeah, isn't that ridiculous? See, we think we're going to get Satan out of heaven by the blood of the Lamb? You know why that is? That is because when you begin to move forward toward the fellowship of the bosom, you're going to be confronted with the enemy and some of his emissaries, and they are horrible to see. They'll scare the liver out of you. And you know what your defense is? The blood.
Amen.
The blood.
Amen.
The blood, because he's going to accuse you. You're going to get me. But do you remember the time when you so and so and so and so? The blood. The blood. That's God's final solution.
Amen.
It's the blood of Messiah. God sees the blood. And he says, that's my son. A sister in the church here lost her daughter. Well, unless you've been a parent, you could never feel a thing like she feels. God gave his son, the blood of his son. And you hold that up before Satan. And you say, I stand in the blood. I don't stand in my own righteousness. You're correct in what you said about me, but I've repented of that, and it's covered by the blood. It's covered by the blood. Don't forget that, people. That's very important. That's where God comes into action, and he sees you, and he sees all those attacking you, and he sees the blood of his son. My son left the ivory palaces to go down into that place. And then to the cross for you. The second thing, the word of their testimony. Your testimony will never be what it's supposed to be until you're giving all your thoughts and words and actions to the Lord Jesus every day and night for his approval and his correction and his guidance. And until you're like that with the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, help me with this, Lord. Talking to Jesus, your best friend. He's your best friend. He's not a spirit up there somewhere. He's with you. He's here in this room. He's with you when you go home. He's listening, just waiting. Would they please talk to me? I need the fellowship. I'm knocking at the door. Will they open it? No, they're too busy watching gangbusters on television. Are you having fellowship with the Lord? That's the main thing that he wants is fellowship. Brothers. And that includes the female of the race. He wants brothers and sisters. He wants them. And he wants you in the bosom of the Father where he is saying, not my will, but your will be done, Father, all the time. You say, that's like a horrible life. Okay, listen to an old man. You do that, you'll have the best possible life. You'll have more fun. You'll have more joy. You'll have more success than you ever will running under your own steam.
Amen.
Your own brain, your limited experience. Give it all to Jesus. He's your best friend. He died on the cross for you as a person. And he knows your name. He knows everything about you. And he wants you to be his best friend and talk to him all the time. You say he can't listen to a million people at once. Oh, yes, he can. He's bigger than you think. He's big enough to heal Zach. He's big enough to heal Bob Porcelli. Oh, yes. He knows them by name. And the third stipulation is the most important for the fellowship of the bosom. You have to get to the place where if it costs you your life, you're going through. And by your life, it means all the things that you enjoy and trust in. And if it costs you everything, and God can find a few people like that, it won't take many. He'll say to Michael, go! I've got what I need. I've got a handful of people that trust in the blood of the cross, that have a testimony that is what God is thinking and saying and doing, just like Jesus lives, listening to the Father at all times. It's the only life there is. The rest of it is shabby. Shabby, shabby. I think of Hannah over there. She's got her whole life ahead of her. Boy, if I knew when I was her age what I know now, I would have lived differently, I'll tell you. Not that I was a horrible sinner, I wasn't, but I wasted an awful lot of time. How about you, Stan? I wasted a lot of time. But I know now the meaning of life. It's God. The only important thing is God, our Creator, and gave His Son for us to make Himself happy and His Son happy and us happy. And the only happiness in the world, Hannah, is the Lord Jesus. There's other things that are a thrill, that are amusing, that are fun. Lots of them. But there's nothing like the approval of Jesus. Have Him answering your prayers on the right hand and the left, because He's your friend. He said that to me a lot of times. You know, He does things for me because He's my friend, because I do what He says.
Amen.
Amen. Is that going to wash with you? Anybody need to go to the altar and tell God? I'm not, you know, I don't get too much on the altar, though it's good for us to learn to pray. Some never pray except when they're in church. If you need to pray, shag it up to the altar and say, Lord, I want to be in the fellowship of the bosom. What did that thing call it? The innermost sanctuary.
The center of His great affection.
Yeah, if you want to be in the center of God's person and will, tell Him. He likes to hear your voice. He doesn't hear it enough. He doesn't hear mine enough. And I'm talking to Him all the time. He wants fellowship. He created you. And you're in His image. You're of His family. The family of God. I'm so glad I belong to the family of God. Then how does it go? I'm so glad I belong to the family of God. Okay, boys and girls, that's it. Are you ready to go out and tear things up? Or listen to the Lord. Be sure and tell Sadie and Darcy what I've said today about obedience.
I will.
All right. Okay, guys. You're good listeners. You all get A+.